Good morning, Open Door. Thank you so much for inviting me to share with you, to speak for one of your Sunday mornings. I'm really glad to do that. I'm really privileged to do that. So thank you so much for the invitation. For those of you who don't know, my name is Helen Tame, and I'm the Pioneer Minister or Community Chaplain up on Love's Farm, and one of the leaders of Love's Farm Church, the church that we began almost 6 years ago now. So I've been in post for seven, and we started what's known as Breakfast Church 6 years ago. Let me tell you a couple of stories, but I'm going to begin with a bit of an introductory story that involves this bowl. And it was the very first story actually that I ever told on our first ever Breakfast Church meeting. And it goes like this. So before Jonathan and I married, Jonathan worked in community development and was involved in a variety of projects in different parts of the world. One of those projects was based in Niger, and the project required that he go and make a visit to the tribe that they had been working with and serving, a group of nomads, some Tuaregs. And so Jonathan made the trip out to Niger to visit the project and to spend just 24 hours or so with this particular tribe. So he went and saw the things that they'd been involved with. And then they shared a meal together at the end of the day. They sat in a circle and he ate whatever it was that was roasted and served. And as they were eating, this bowl was passed around the group. I think it had camel milk in it. And so it was passed around. Each person took a drink, passed it on, and so on. Jonathan, on receipt of the bowl, when it was his turn to drink, admired the bowl, as indeed you would. It is a beautiful, beautiful piece. I don't know how well you can see it, but it's absolutely lovely. So he took his drink, but he admired the bowl. Anyway, the following morning, as he was preparing to go, the tribal chief held the bowl out to him and said to him, "Pour votre femme, for your wife." Now, that posed something of a problem for Jonathan, because at that point, he had no wife, nor any prospect, actually, of getting a wife anytime soon. There was nobody on the horizon. But he knew two things. One, he knew that he really liked the bowl. And the second thing that he knew was that it would be rude to decline the gift. So he took the bowl and he resolved that as soon as he had a wife, he would make sure that it was the very first thing he gave her. Well, some years passed, and of course that was me. On our wedding day, as Jonathan prepared to give his speech, the first thing he did was to present me with this bowl. Now, why tell you that story? Because it's a story I love to tell. But it reflects, doesn't it, the reality, the truth, that we, all of us, carry stories. And some of them, like my story with the bowl, I love to tell. But there are other stories, actually, that are so much harder for us to tell for all sorts of reasons. But the fact remains that we all carry stories. And of course, we're part of a story. Whether we realise it or whether we're not, we are part of God's story. And God wants so much, actually, to write our story with us, to have us understand our place in his story, how our story and his story, they're destined, actually, to overlap. They're destined to go together. They're destined, actually, to be co-written. And God wants us to know that. So that was the very first story that I ever told Breakfast Church. The following Sunday, I said, I've got another story about a bowl. And it goes like this. We weren't many. There were 20 or so of us. And you may or may not know that our heart in starting Breakfast Church was to create a space where people who maybe had had no kind of previous church background, no experience of faith, might feel safe enough to start a journey, to start a story. So my second story went like this. There was a time when Jesus took a bowl. he was having a meal with his disciples, a really significant meal. It would be actually his last meal before his crucifixion. And as the meal was being prepared, he took a bowl and he filled it with water. He put a towel around his waist and he went to each of his disciples and he washed their feet. He washed their feet. And he told them, I want you to understand what it is that I am doing for you. You call me your Lord and Master, and that is right. But this is actually what being this is what it means in the kingdom. This is how leadership looks in the kingdom. It looks like service. So I've come actually to serve, to cleanse, to make heal, to make whole, to bring healing to you, that you might take part in the story that's being told. But really and truly, for that to happen, you need to know. You need to know my cleansing. You need to know me, serve you. You need to let me do that, to love and to lead you. Two stories about a bowl. Now, in talking with Ian, I think he felt that maybe it would be a good thing, actually, for me to share some stories from Love's Farm. And as I do that, I'm trusting that by God's Holy Spirit, he will help you just to make connections with your own story, with your own context, with the call on your lives as individual disciples of Jesus, because that's, of course, the generic call on all of our lives, isn't it? To be disciples of Jesus, to be lovers and learners of Jesus. But also, actually, your call as a church. What does it look like for you to love and serve in your context, according to the call on your corporate life as the Open Door Church in St. Neots? So let me tell you another story, an early story. From the beginning of my time here on Love's Farm. So just during the early months, I linked up with one of the housing agents for our social housing provider, BPHA, and together we did some door knocking just to check in with people and find out what's it like for you to live on Love's Farm. What are the issues? What are the things? What are its strengths? What are its weaknesses? And so we were doing that together over a few days. In the course of that, we were on a road, and she was doing some houses, I was doing others, and I realised there was a bit of an altercation going on, and that there was a man that she had come to the door, and he was raising his voice and so on and so forth. So I thought, I think maybe I need just to go over and check out what's happening. So I did, and I don't know, the guy calmed down a tiny bit, and we managed to kind of bring the conversation down, and I realised that in his hallway he had some wooden planters. They looked homemade, and so I asked him, had he made them? He said yes, he had, and we got into conversation about how he'd done that and so on and so forth. He apologised for having raised his voice to my colleague for the day, and the kind of the interview ended. A few days later, I was beginning to think about Christmas, and I had an assembly to do at the Roundhouse School, and I thought, oh, you know, I really could do with a manger. And then I thought, goodness, you know, there's not a lot of difference between a manger and a planter, a flower planter. I'll go back to that guy that I met and see if he will make me one. So I did. I went back, and of course he was really happy actually to be asked to do that. And he said, yes, that won't take me long. I'll get it ready for you in just a couple of days. I said, well, that's great. Thank you so much. A couple of days passed, and I was walking through Love's Farm, and he saw me. He was in his car. He stopped his car, put his window down. He said, Helen, he said, I've your manger's ready. He said, I've just put some staining on it, so it's all ready. Feel free to come anytime from this afternoon. And he said, I found you a blanket to go with it. And I said, well, that's really, really kind. I will come toward the end of this afternoon. So I went. And he'd done a really, really great job. I still use it, a really, really great job. He'd made me this manger. And then he gave me this beautiful white kind of baby's blanket. Now, this was an older man and living by himself. I'll be frank with you, is a bit of a, you know, rough diamond. And it didn't quite make sense, you know, where this white baby blanket had come from. So I said to him, well, that is lovely. I said, I will be sure to give it back to you when I've finished the assembly and finished using it for Christmas. He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I want you to have it. I said, well, that's really kind. Where did it come from? And then he told me his story, how he'd married a young Filipino woman and how they'd had a couple of children. And then things had gone really horribly, horribly wrong. And actually the children had been taken away, withdrawn, taken into care, and the relationship had completely broken down. And he said to me, he said, in the new year, he said, I'm due some money. I've got some money coming. I think some little insurance thing or whatever was going to have matured. It was just a little bit over £1,000. He said, I'm going to use that money. He said, I'm going to get myself a lawyer and I'm going to clear my name. So I looked at him and I said, well, I guess you could do that. I guess you could. But I said, if, as I believe, our life actually is a gift from God, and if one day we're going to have to give an account for our lives, if we're going to have to stand before God and give an account for our lives, I know that it's before God that I want my name clear and clean. And amazingly, he tells us actually that can be the case, that if we will admit to him the things that we have done wrong, he will cleanse us and forgive us from all of our unrighteousness, from all the things that we've messed up, all the mistakes we've made. He'll cleanse us and forgive us and heal us. I said, I know that for me, that's what I want most of all. That's where I want my name to be cleared. And he listened and he began to cry. And he said to me, he said, you know, there are some nights I sit on that sofa and I think to myself, I need to speak to a priest. And I said to him, well, I think I can help you with that. I think I can help you with that. And now I am an ordained priest, but I had a sense actually that he needed to go into a space that looked like a church. And he needed to speak to somebody who looked like a priest, who was wearing the garments of a priest, which I have, but I just felt it would be more appropriate for him actually to go somewhere else. So I took him to Paul Andrews, and together we listened to his confession and led him in a prayer of forgiveness. And then Paul left, and then I took him on a tour of the church, of the windows of the church, because of course in the windows there's lots of stained glass that helped to tell the stories of Jesus, the stories of faith, the stories of God's purpose. And so we went round, and I told him the stories that the glass was depicting. Now, He never became a part of Love's Farm Church. He never became a part of Breakfast Church. But I think he found his place, actually, in God's family. Because he found for himself God's healing. And I maintained contact with him. He died, actually, about a year or so after. But that had been a significant, somehow it had been a super significant encounter. And actually, I tell that story because somehow it brings so many things together. It brings so many things together. I'd met him where he was. I'd involved him, actually, in something that I was doing. I'd enabled him, actually, to serve me, which was important to him. In that context, I'd been able to listen to his story and of course serve him in return. And we'd done that over a manger. We'd done that somehow against the backdrop of Christmas. Christmas is coming, we're approaching it, aren't we? And of course it is the most wonderful and amazing story, how it is that the God of heaven and earth comes as a tiny baby to find us where we are in all our mess and in all our muddle, and says, you know, it can look different, it can be different, you can be made new, you can find forgiveness for the things in your life that have spoiled and marred your life. You can start again. The story can end differently to the way it began, to the way that it has begun. And in a sense, that I guess in a way that that's helps to explain a little bit what we're doing as Love's Farm Church, what we're doing as Breakfast Church. We are seeking, we've sought to find people where they are and to love them in that space, and to be a part of their story, and actually have them a part of our story, to write story together, actually, about God's heart and God's intentions, about God's healing and God's way. So as a church, we started very gently with just a story about a bowl and lots of food and noise and children and chatter and so on and so forth. Over the 6 years, actually, we've come to look a little bit more like a church and a little bit less like a kind of a raucous breakfast party. But we do retain breakfast, and we retain our raucousness, and we retain our kind of not ever so polished feel, because we want people to feel as though this is somewhere they can belong. So three key words for us as a church are this: community, encounter, discipleship. Community, encounter, discipleship. I really like words, I like stories, I like telling stories. I like to be really deliberate about the words I do use and the words I don't use. So community, why use that word? Because what we want to do is create a space where people feel as though they have a place, they can be at the table way before they believe the right things or behave in a way that maybe they ought to, or we think they should, or they even would like to. So you can, in a sense, we're saying, no, you can belong here. There's a place at the table here for you as you begin to look at this story, this invitation of Jesus. Way before anything else happens. So community is really important. But wonderfully, on Love's Farm, you can get community in all sorts of different places. So it's not just community, and we're very plain about that. We want you to know that you're welcome here. There's a place at the table. But our prayer is, our hope is, that in this space, at this table, you will encounter God. You will come to see and to know the God who loves you and longs for you. I sometimes tell a story of being a child and having a friend who lived in a house that had a loft, and the loft had been filled was filled with all the things that the previous owners had owned that they'd never cleared. And we used to have great fun in this loft. But in the corner was this whole stack of pictures that had become darkened, and you couldn't quite distinguish, well, what was the picture of, because they'd been in the loft for so, so long. And in so many ways, for me, that's a picture of people's understanding of who God is. It hasn't had any light, and it's been hidden away, and it's not been well told. It's not been refreshed. And so you can barely see. And so as a church, we say, actually, we want to tell the story of Jesus, to recover the picture of what God is like, who God really, truly is, so that actually I would know God's encounter, you would know God's encounter. So community, encounter, discipleship. Because actually, when we encounter God, when we really know who God is, when we know our place in God's heart, in God's story, it begins to shape our own hearts, begins to shape our own stories. And that's what discipleship is really all about. So community, encounter, discipleship. We don't have a great statement on our website that says we believe this, 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 and this. We do believe all those things, but actually that's not what we want on our front page, because we want on our front page, we want people to feel as though if they're just taking a little bit of peek through the curtain onto our website or whatever, is this somewhere that I could begin this journey? Is this somewhere I could bring my questions? Is this somewhere I could bring my pain? And we want to create a space that says, yes, it is. You can be here. You can be a part of this community. But as you are, we hope that you will encounter God. And when that happens, there's every possibility that your story begins to be shaped by that encounter, which is what discipleship is. All right, one last thing, because I suspect my time is running out. It may well be that you've been looking at the picture behind me. I have a ton of these pictures at home. They're by an artist and theologian called Neil Thurgood. And they are Bible from the Air. And so as you look at this picture, what do you see? You might see a whole load of roofs and quite a crowd of people. And then maybe a couple of figures on top of a roof, of course, who are making a hole in order that they can bring their friend to Jesus. I really, really hope, actually, that's your experience, that you have opportunity when so many things would seek to kind of inhibit that encounter. So many things would get in the way of that. I really hope and pray that for you individually and as a church, as a whole church, would have more and more and more opportunities to find people where they are, to carry them, whatever that looks like, and to bring them to Jesus, that Jesus might see your faith for them, but see their need of his forgiveness and of his friendship. And that you would hear Jesus say to your friend, friend, it's okay, your sins are forgiven. So that you would get to be a part of the party celebrating the difference that Jesus makes in the lives of all of us, actually, broken as we are, with all the stories that we carry, some stories that we love to tell, others that are much, much harder. Who knows what that man's story was? Who knows what it was that Jesus knew and understood and that needed actually forgiveness? But Jesus knew and spoke it. All right, I'm going to stop because I think I've probably gone on long enough, but let me pray for you, if I may. Father God, thank you so much that you are the God of story. Thank you for the story that you've been writing in our lives, individually and corporately. Thank you for the story that you're writing up on Love's Farm. Thank you for the story that you're writing in the life of the Open Door Church. Thank you for the individual elements of that. Thank you for the corporate story that's being written. And I pray and ask that more and more and more and more we would let you into our stories, that we would know your love, we'd know your healing, we'd know your cleansing, we'd know your forgiveness, your restoration, and we'd know your call to keep writing story and to keep telling story and to keep inviting people into story, your story. Holy Spirit, be at work, I pray, in all of our hearts. Be at work, I pray, in all the places that you've set us. Help us to know our neighbours, to know the people around us, to see beyond the need, to have the courage to tell story, to have the courage to take risks and to be story to those watching on. So I pray your blessing. I pray your blessing on us individually. I pray your blessing on us corporately. Be glorified, I pray. Make your name known through our witness. For your name's sake. Amen.